The walls of Seamount's office were indeed covered with fresh diagrams, Merlin observed. Several of them were quite interesting. It was obvious Seamount had been concentrating on ways to devise explosive shells for smoothbores, which made sense, given the number of smoothbore artillery pieces already in service. Not to mention the minor fact that there were no rifled artillery pieces in service anywhere in the world.
The biggest problem with the explosive shot, I'm thinking about calling them shells, since they're basically hollow shells filled with gunpowder, is getting them to explode when and where they're supposed to, the Baron said.
Yes,
Merlin encouraged in a neutral tone, carefully selected to tease Seamount. The Carisian knew it, too, and his eyes gleamed.
Well, there's this minor difficulty, he said. Put most simply, it needs a fuse. One possibility, I suppose, would be to use a short-barreled weapon, something even shorter than a carronade, which could probably lob the shells the same way a catapult lobs stones. Anyway, something with a barrel short enough that one of the gunners could reach down it and light the fuse on the shell after it's loaded into the gun. Of course, I imagine most people would be a little unhappy standing around with a lit fuse on a shell inside a gun, which might choose that particular moment to misfire.
The Baron shook his head.
Waiting for the explosion could be just a little hard on the nerves, I suspect.
I can see that, Merlin agreed, manfully resisting the powerful temptation to smile.
I'd gotten that far,
Seamount continued more seriously,
when it occurred to me that there was no need to light the fuse by hand if I could use the gun's muzzle flash to do the same job. So I started trying to come up with a fuse which could be self-igniting and give a reasonably reliable and consistent burn time. I've tried slow match and quick match, and I've tried other approaches as well. The one that seems to work best, at least in tests, is a hollow wooden plug filled with fine-grained powder. We finally managed to come up with a composition which actually burns at a predictable, reliable speed, and by using a fairly thin-walled plug, we can actually select for different burn times. We've discovered that if we mark the outside of the plug in increments and punch a hole through it so that the fuse's powder train ignites at a different point in the fuse channel, we can adjust the interval between firing and the shell's explosion with a surprising degree of accuracy.
In this case, Merlin knew we've actually meant I've, and he folded his arms as he allowed his own expression to match the Carisian's increased seriousness.
I can see where that would have been difficult, he said. From what you've already said, though, I suspect that isn't the real problem.
No, it isn't,
Seamount said with what Merlin recognized as massive restraint.
The problem, Sajin Merlin, is that it doesn't matter how reliably the fuse can be timed if the propelling charge keeps blowing the damned fuse into the shell and setting it off inside the gun.
Oh,
Merlin nodded, tugging on his mustache again. He frowned in obvious thought, although he wasn't thinking about exactly what Seamount might have thought he was. The difficulty lay less in solving Seamount's problem than in managing to avoid solving it too quickly.
Let me see if I have this straight, he said after several seconds.
You don't want the gunner to have to physically light the fuse on these shells of yours for every shot, so you've developed one that the propelling charge's flash ignites. And from what you're saying, the fuse you've come up with lets you time things with a reasonably accurate reliability, when it works at all. But when the gunpowder behind the shell goes off, the fuse is a weak point in the shell wall, and it goes off prematurely?